former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe in downtown Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. If you missed the first hour, make sure you check it out in podcast form. Also, check out the newest edition of the GM Shuffle, which dropped earlier this morning. Search the GM Shuffle wherever you get your podcast there. We got a new one coming out. And we got Monday, Thursdays. We're rolling along. There's no off season for the Shuffle. We'll be shuffling along. And then next week, we get the NFL schedule.
No, not with the schedule coming down the road here. You know, we got to listen. Oh, yeah. Will Hill's finally finished it. He's worked extremely hard to get that done. So that's perfect. And, you know, we can analyze. I love how people analyze it and which game's going to be a great game. We should go back and watch that video, too. Some of those games that I thought were going to be great end up being duds, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. When everyone says, we're going to get Burrow versus Mahomes in December, how about Jake Browning versus Mahomes in December?
Yeah, this will be the best. We should set a date on the GM Shuffle about what date Will Hill texts me about how did they put this game on TV. Like, just like complaining about the schedule that he makes, you know, that he does. And, you know, anybody doesn't listen to the show very often. Will Hill's a guest. He's a contributor here at VSiN. He has a podcast. And he has an expertise in a lot of areas, sports. And mostly he's opinionated when it comes to television programming. So we like to make fun of him about that.
We love Will Hill on the program here, but Will Hill maybe a little bit late with
what
the schedule.
What do you think the date he's going to? Yeah, I would say the second Thursday or third Thursday. I'm going to get a text from him saying, "How did they put this game on?" I'm like, "I'll send it back." Well, you're the one who was in the room. I mean, like, why didn't you stop it?
It's Will Hill and Fred Godelli and Howard. What's Howard's name? Yeah. I forgot his name. Every production
Howard. I
forgot his name.
Howard Katz.
Yeah,
he works hard. But they put it all on a computer now. They put it all on. It used to be. They used to do it with tags. When I worked at NFL Films, it would go up to NFL Films. They would have like these tags. And, you know, he would, because you have to, the venues, you have to know the dates that the venues are available, right? So not all the state, you know, the stadiums are multi-usage. So it's a tedious process, but not anymore. They just throw it into AI, and AI comes out with the answers. Maybe they just can't come out with the who's going to win.
Yeah. I don't envy the people that have to put that together, because you mentioned the venues, not just that venue, but venues across the street maybe. I mean, like, is there a baseball game going on that day? What's the parking structure like? All these things that factor into making a schedule. It's I give them full props for putting that together each and every year without the conflicts. And maybe a couple teams, they get a 3 road games in a row, but all that stuff. But you can't avoid it, unfortunately. What goes around comes around. But the NFL schedule, as you can tell, we're football junkies. We're looking forward to that next Wednesday that comes out. We're also looking forward to these NBA playoffs that will continue later on tonight. But last night, we saw the New York Knicks take a 2-0 series lead on the Indiana Pacers. They beat the Pacers 130-121. Jalen Brunson, once again, terrific, 29 points. He missed a bunch of the second quarter, came back for the third quarter, and the fourth quarter was outstanding. Dante DiVincenzo, who has once again refound his shooting stroke, 6 of 12 from beyond the arc, as the Nova Knicks, Michael, take the 2-0 series lead here against the Indiana Pacers.
And Josh Hart played 48 minutes.
Yep.
You know, Tom Thibodeau went with a bench. It gave him more minutes, but had to, because of Brunson missing the entire second quarter, which I thought was a groin injury. It turns out to be a foot injury. You know, and now this line, as we see and get ready to open up for the next game, which will be in the Fieldhouse in Indiana, you know, that's up to 7.5, which is, to me, a red flag to everybody listening that the book is expecting Ogunobi to not be healthy or Brunson to not be healthy, even if they play, which reduces down the ability of somebody's got to step in for Ogunobi in the starting lineup. Now we're down to 6 players. We saw Alec Burke make a 1-minute appearance at the end of the half, and that was the last we saw of him. You know, he probably went right on Broadway after that and looked for a cab, because he launched that 3-pointer, and that was the end of that. You know, he was like some junior high kid who got in a game and said, "I'm going to score. I'm going to get a point. I'm going to get a score." But you know, when does this lack of bench catch up? I mean, Hart's played every minute. It's amazing. He played the entire overtime game against Philly. Then he played the entire game against Philly. And now he's played 2 entire games here. His conditioning is remarkable. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the other thing that bothered me about the game, the start of the second half, when Brunson got hurt and Barkley said, "Look, you know, they've got to, you know, they got to win this game if Brunson's out. They have to win. They're up by 10. They got to win this game. And then I think it went to their head. And at some point, they're going to have to play some defense, because I was thinking that I wanted to take the points. Not that I bet, but I was recommending taking the points, because I kept saying, how can the Knicks shoot as well as they did in game two as they did in game one? I was right. They shot better.
Yeah.
Right? They shot 57% from the 2-point. They shot 46 from three. Like, they got better. And that's just lack of defense. I mean, wow. And rebounding. I mean, Femi Hartenstein and Hart had 27 rebounds combined, and the Pacers only had 32 for the game.
What's stand out to me, you mentioned Hart's conditioning being remarkable. He's the first guy to the ball with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and he's been on the floor the entire game. Like, you'd have thought that this guy just came off the bench fresh. Like, he's beating guys to the ball. He's taking it coast to coast. I mean, I was texting with my brother. We were watching game one or whatever. Like, he's obviously in Seattle, but we're texting back and forth during the game. And I just told him, I was like, every team needs a Josh Hart. Like, that's just a winning basketball player.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's not the most talented. He's
with
not
talent,
gonna,
though.
But it's like
every But he has new, talent.
Yeah.
He combines, you know, he exceeds his talent with his effort. You know, yep. And so you need that guy. And he knows his role. He's not trying to become a hero. And I think everybody on the Knicks team understands their role clearly, and they play to their role, you know, and DiVincenzo when he needs to score. But look, the Pacers allowed 30 points in three or more quarters in the game. 30 points. The only quarter they didn't allow 30 was when Brunson was hurt. So they're going to have to tidy that up. And I think this line is reflective of, does the Knicks catch a breather? Do they rest their guys and, you know, and almost concede this game to get ready for game four? As Mike Somich said earlier in the show, that game four is going to be the deciding factor of whether we get this, whether it goes to six or not. So, I you know, and for all the conversation about the officiating, you can't get away from the numbers. The Pacers missed 7 free throws in the game. They had 2 double-doubles where people would have got 2 Wendy's, whatever the hell they were, if the Knicks had that program. They don't have it in New York. But think about it, Femi. How many games have you watched in your NBA where, you know, every team has, you know, we're going to get the Chick-fil-A sandwich or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guy always makes the second one. But this is, they had 2 guys miss 2 of them in a row. Jackson missed 2, and I think, and I forget who missed the other 2.
Yeah, it might have been Turner.
Miles Turner. I think Miles Turner
missed.
Yeah, it
might have been Miles Turner that missed both of them. Yeah, I mean, Siakam was out there missing free throws as well. It was not a good showing for the Indiana Pacers. But let's get to what's on your mind, because it has to do with the officiating here and like the conspiracy that the NBA is trying to push the Knicks forward. So since LeBron and Durant and Kawhi, all these guys are gone, we got to push the Knicks forward for the ratings there. And Rick Carlisle said, he said, quote, small market teams deserve an equal shot as well after the game. So I don't know if the players are buying into it, but Carlisle's trying to, I guess, lay the groundwork to hopefully get a better whistle going forward.
You know, it's funny. Let's break down what he just said. Small market team. There is no small market team. They share revenue.
Yeah.
They share revenue in the NBA. Now, there's, you know, your TV package is based on what you get, but there's a cap. So the word small market gets removed when there's a cap. Everybody has the right to spend the same amount of money. They've eliminated that whole notion of small market. And if the games are good, I think NBA fans with this betting influence that has come in, they're going to watch. I mean, we're watching the Pacers. We're watching the Sixers, Knicks, Pacers, Knicks. I mean, they're good games to watch. What we don't want to watch is Cleveland, Boston. That's going to be a 20-point devastation, right? We don't want to watch that game. I want to watch the Mavericks play Oklahoma City. I don't even think about the population of Oklahoma City when I'm watching a game. I just think about they got a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody thinks that way anymore. That's old school. And for him to say, you know, I tell my team to don't focus on officiating, and then he comes out and talks about officiating, what do you think the team does? Thank God for Halliburton having common sense and saying, hey, look, it wasn't the officials that beat us. It was, here it is. Let me give it to you. We missed 7 free throws. Played no defense, right? You know, didn't maintain the lead. Had a bad third quarter. You want to go through the list?
Yeah. And overnight, Brian Windhorst of ESPN, he reported that overnight the Pacers filed 49 calls that they felt were incorrect from game 2. And they also sent in 29 from game 1 that were previously withheld. So a total of 78 calls that they felt were incorrect.
It's a waste of time and energy.
Yeah.
We used to do that in the NFL. Every Monday you would fill out, okay, they missed this call, they missed that call, they missed this call. And Mike Pereira would look it over and he'd call you back and say, okay, And at the end of the day, you're no further towards the win than you were.
Yep.
You know, and it's not like they're going to correct it. Larry Nemers was going to make the same mistake he made in the game that you were bitching about him in. Like, you know, you think Scott Novak's going to not put that flag? I mean, he's already been practicing in his driveway to throw that thing around. So, come on. It's a you wasted 78 clips of tape.
Yeah. How much tape has Scott Novak watched of hip drop tackles to be ready for this upcoming season?
Oh, he's all he's over grinding. That. Trust me. I mean, he's obsessed with it. He's got it's on the big screen in his basement. I mean, I got to call this baby. I'm going to get this one. I'm going to get this on. You know, he'll lead it. Like, he can't wait. I mean, it's been what? He didn't do a playoff game, which tells you something about his ability to officiate. Mm. So it's been since what? Mid-January, he hasn't thrown a flag. I mean, his arm's got to be, he's got to get back in shape. He'll be probably in the driveway just firing that baby.
Send him down to spring training with some of these pitchers and catchers out there.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
He'll be ready to go with all of that stuff. But
now Mike Palm is coming on later in the show. We have Mike Palm for a half hour with the Palms Pressing 3. Mm-hmm. But Mike would challenge that Brad Allen's probably practicing too.
Oh, my. I mean, remember the debacle in Dallas with the Lions and Cowboys?
Oh.
He didn't report as eligible. I miss the NFL so much. As much as we're talking about how these officials are, I miss it so much. Just the Monday after or the Friday after a Thursday game. It's so good. There's so much drama with it. And maybe that's why the league never changes these guys, because it adds to the drama and it adds to the product that we all are obsessed about. All right. On the other side, we're playing a little No Way, No Doubt here on the Lombardi Line. Hang with us here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, you got to jump on this deal. We're offering it our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, now just $199. All you have to do is sign up today, and we'll give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code Lombardi. You're going to gain all the best bets, the daily betting systems, the betting splits, the 19 hours of live programming, everything that VSiN has to offer. You'll get it with the subscription. Once again, VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code Lombardi. That's important. Use promo code Lombardi to unlock the deal. VSiN, VSiN.com/subscribe.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubts. No doubts. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
All right, let's play a little no way or no doubt here on the Lombardi Line. And we'll start off with the roast of Tom Brady over this past weekend and all the dignitaries that were in attendance, two of them being Bill Belichick and owner Robert Kraft. Well, Michael, do you believe that the beef between Belichick and Kraft has been squashed? Because we saw them toast and take a shot together at the roast.
Well, I mean, it's for those are like pictures for PR standpoint. I mean, you don't put a 10-part documentary and dismiss the winningest coach in NFL history and give him zero credit for him and think that he's going to come up there and say, oh, how are you doing, Robert? How's things? You know, I mean, everything he's done since he's left the building, they've tried to destroy him from, you know, take his signs down, defuse the organization. How would you feel? I mean, you know, instead of me answering the question, you know, people should ask themselves the question. Let's say you spent 24 years at one place. You won 6 Super Bowls. You went to 8. You increased the value of the franchise from, you know, let's say $1 billion to $6 billion. Okay? You know, you had something to do with that. You know, you put the team on the map. You became, you created a way. And then the day you walked out, you started getting bad-mouthed and everything went against you, including a book. I mean, how would you feel? I know we live in a world of forgiveness, Femi, but it's a little bit early to forgive, right? It's a little bit early to use our Christian faith and focus on forgiveness. So I'm not buying that at all. This is going to last for a while. And, you know, I thought what Kraft did was trying to cover up when he came out and said, this is the greatest coach. You know, saying it at the roast and doing what you did to him in the 10-part documentary, which you claim you had nothing to do with, is a little bit of disingenuous.
Yeah, it rings hollow. And former New England Patriots player Julian Edelman, on his podcast Games with Names, here's what he had to say about how what the feeling was like in the room there at the roast this past weekend.
Tension in that room, though.
It was real.
Good cut.
It was very real. It was very real.
I was so awkward. I was like, I was watching Coach, and I tried to give Coach a heads up. I'm like, I see Kraft walk in. I'm like, yo, Coach. You know, like, even in the locker room, like, 5-0, 5-0. You know, like, he did. Of course, he didn't see it.
Right.
And right. He came in, and I was like, oh, this could be some fireworks. I just walked away.
I mean, it kind of tells you what you laid out there. It's like, yeah, they can kind of do all this stuff for PR, but everybody knows what's really, how they really feel about each other.
I mean, how would you feel, right? How would, put yourself in Belichick's shoes. You've dedicated 24 years of your life for that cause. And, you know, and then to be, and then, you know, and then all of a sudden you think just him standing up there saying, this is the greatest coach and doing a talk. Come on. Every action, there's a reason for those actions. And, you know, and they've done nothing but smear his legacy, whether he called Arthur Blank or not. Like, I don't know if that's actually true. It may be true, but I think the incompetence of general manager, Super Bowl winning general manager Terry Fontenot will cover up all of those sins anyway. He probably didn't need to make that call.
Yeah, that sound was courtesy of the Games with Names podcast with Julian Edelman. All right, let's move it along to your favorite team, the Philadelphia 76ers. They should add a superstar to the roster this offseason. No way or no doubt?
No doubt they should. No doubt they should. It's, can he not be 36 years and older? Can he not be one of the, can he not be a former Houston Rocket? Can he not be a guy that doesn't work hard? Can he not be a guy that is, can't play all the games? Can he not be a guy that is going to acquiesce to Embiid? I mean, yeah, but who's that guy? I mean, you know, who is that guy? I love Jimmy Butler 2 years ago. I clearly said to all my, I would assign him over Harris, but what I was worried about with Jimmy Butler is what's come true is I didn't know how many years he had left. He wanted that 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. I was worried that body wasn't going to hold up.
Yeah, no, Jimmy Butler, I don't know if you want to go down that path this year. Paul George is a name that's been bandied about, also 34 years old, but for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Let me ask you this, Femi. Let me ask you a no way or no doubt. Mm-hmm. If you're Paul George and one of your best friends is James Harden, and Kawhi Leonard, are you going to trust Daryl Morey in a contract?
No way. Not a chance.
No way or no doubt, Femi.
No way. Not a chance.
So that's a no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no then way. Scratch the Paul George.
Yeah. Yeah. And then James Harden, I mean, it's been an ugly divorce with James Harden and Daryl Morey, which was documented before the season started. All right, let's go back to the football. Chad Johnson on his podcast, The Nightcap, said, quote, remember I told you, Odell, Tyreek, and Jalen Waddle will all have 1,000 receiving yards. So, Michael, the Miami Dolphins could have 3 1,000-yard receivers this season, no way or no doubt.
No way. I mean, can we stop this nonsense with Odell, please? Can we stop it? I mean, like, seriously, I know Chad and him are buddies, but, I mean, to me, this is where there's such a disconnect between the reality of players and analysts. Like, that's just, you're playing for the player. Like, at some point, analyze the game. At some point, analyze the career. It goes back to, see what Barkley said. Like, you're friends with them, right? Be honest. Like, there's no way. The question is, could he stay healthy? No. Did he watch him last year? I mean, it's unbelievable. But unfortunately, because the fans think that ex-players played, they know. They really don't know about players. No next player spent time up in the player acquisition departments or evaluating talent. They never did that.
Yeah, and it's like, how could you when you're focused on your own career to then also see the big picture? But apparently, yeah. It's not their job to do that. But now they comment on that whole thing. Oh, by the way, the last time a team had 3 1,000-yard receivers, 2008 Arizona Cardinals, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, and Steve Breston. Only 5 times has it been done in NFL history, but it hasn't been done since the 2008 Cardinals that went and lost the Super Bowl to the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, moving along here. Austin Rivers, NBA analyst over at ESPN, was on the Pat McAfee show and said that 30 NBA players could play in the NFL, but 30 NFL players could not play in the NBA. So more NBA players could play in the NFL than NFL players in the NBA, no way or no doubt.
Well, I think to me, it's really, again, has Austin Rivers spent any time in player personnel? One of the things that I've always said, and I've studied the NBA, I love watching the players, and I think they're incredible. Like, you know, could some of those guys transition? Could Barkley have been a great tight end? Absolutely, right? Could he have been a great tight end? No doubt. And there's so Michael Jordan could have done anything. And, you know, we're seeing this in the league now. But in the NBA, you can be a vertical player. You can be a straight line, have straight line speed, have straight line acceleration. In the NFL, you can't live like that, right? You know, Anthony Edwards has everything you want in a great athlete. But there also is something called toughness. It's something called toughness. And so to play in the NFL, you got to have unique toughness. And as Barkley would tell you, I wanted nothing to do with that because it's a different kind of toughness than it is in the NBA. So athletically, I'm not challenging how great those guys are, just like in the NFL. I'm not going to challenge. I mean, Tyreek Hill, you don't think he can go over if he could dribble basketball? Who's keeping up with him? Who's running him down?
He can dunk a basketball, you know? I've seen.
I mean, like some of the tight ends in our league. Yeah, so each sport requires a different specialty. And you better understand both sports on what it requires to play in the NFL and play there. That's why Bob Myers must understand it because he's coming from basketball into the NFL.
Final one here. We'll see if we can squeeze another one in. But NFL draft grades are a reliable resource for off-season betting prep. Oh, no God. Way or no doubt.
I mean, when Elliot put that in, there's no way. I mean, we just went through, you and I on the GM shuffle, we just went through the 21-20 grades. The Bears got an A+. From an analytical site, Pro Football Focus, they got an A+. They have one player remaining from that draft. They got an A+ on that day. They won 10 games or 11 games with the player that got them the A+. They're irrelevant, and they should be irrelevant because it takes 3 years to figure it out.
Yeah, it's draft grades. Just throw them in the trash can, as far as I'm concerned, for your offseason.
It's an exercise in futility. Yeah. It's a click game.
Yeah,
and it's basically the teacher. It's the student grading the teacher, because if you don't follow Mel's board, you're not getting a good grade.
Exactly. It's circular.
So that
reasoning.
Means Mel's right.
Yeah. It's all circular reasoning. Here's what they should do. They didn't do it. All right, F. They're like, oh, what? Who are you? That's how things work with those draft games. But they make for great content, so I understand why they keep pumping them out. All right, Mike Palm, the VP of operations here at Serco, joins us in studio next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, if you head over to the VSiN.com website there, you'll see our buddy Jonathan Von Tobel, our VSiN senior NBA analyst, breaking down the best bets for tonight's action on the hardwood. We got two games, Cavs at Celtics, and then, of course, the Mavericks at the Oklahoma City Thunder. Everything else, the betting splits, the best bets, all of that stuff over at VSiN.com. Check it out today. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, and joining us in studio, like he always does each and every Thursday, Mike Palm, the VP of operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Mike, how are we doing today? It's been a while since we've hung out. We've been kind of gone outside of Vegas, but good to see you again.
Well, thank you, Femi. I was excited when Elliot texted me last night that you'd be filling in for Stormy, who's in Alaska this week on the show today. And we'll see each other again on Saturday for Live Bet Saturday. And Michael, always good to see you as well.
Good to see you too, Mike. I want to start with the Derby. How was the Derby for the book in terms of the handicap and the viewing and the people involved? And what were your thoughts of the finish line when the jockey grabbed the harness of the other horse?
I was surprised. I'll start with the back half of that, though. I was surprised that we didn't get a longer inquiry there into the stretch run just because of how much he came over on the horse. I mean, the Japanese horse, I think, wins the race if he doesn't get run like five lengths to the center there, right? So that's one thing. In terms of the handle and the attendance here, it was like an NFL playoff game. I mean, they were five deep off the underhang here. It was, there was no space to stand. They were 20 deep in line at the counters to bet. We did more handle than we've ever done on a derby by almost 40%. It was really good. And if at noon Pacific time, we would have stopped the betting, we would have had a great result. But Mystic Dan got bet twice, once at 24-1 and once at 18-1 in our fixed odds, once for 3,000, once for 2,000, which sort of changed the result for us. So we lose to our fixed odds, which we book, and then we make, you know, the 7% on the right of the parimutuel. So we came out about even, but did very well in terms of, it was one of our top three hotel rate nights here at Circa on Saturday, which was a number of factors, but the Derby included. Had a great party up at Legacy Club, sold out, 205 people. Everybody gets dressed up in their best outfits, yeah, you know, to watch the Derby, and we put TVs up there for that event, which the only time we do that is that event in Super Bowl that we ever have TVs up there. And the excitement was at a great level. Of course, it was 150 of it. So congratulations to Churchill Down and that whole crew for pulling off a fantastic event.
Yeah, no, it's. I think May has become one of the more underrated sports months. When you think about, like, last week we had the Derby, get the Preakness in a couple of weeks here, FC Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs. How's the handle been for NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs? VGK is out. I know that. I don't know if there's going to be as much excitement here locally, but at least nationally, it seems like everyone's locked in with Boston in the thick of things. New York, the Rangers are still in the thick of it. And, of course, what's going on out west with Dallas and Colorado.
So good for the win, but bad for the right VGK being out because they're biggest liability every year.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this before. I don't blame the Lakers for winning their first play-in game and making sure. But if the Lakers were had go longer, it would definitely impact the right here. That's the number one determinant. Second, probably most, is the Warriors, and they didn't make it. Yeah. So that hurts. It's interesting because the right on the Knicks games have been very good.
They're exciting.
They're really exciting. And, you know, it's a tough series with Boston and Cleveland because it's sort of a foregone result. Very interesting now with Minnesota. These young teams in the West, not proven, no experience, but playing great in the playoffs so far. OKC and Minnesota. We'll see if that carries out. Certainly surprising so far. I went back and looked for Mitch and Paul because Mitch asked a question. So far, if you look at it on a per-game basis, NBA games right between 30 and 35% more than NHL games do. In terms of future, they're about even. But on a game-to-game basis, more right on the NBA.
And Mike, how about, I mean, you watch hockey. You love hockey. Mm-hmm. You study it. Who do you see? Femi asked Mike Somich who's going to win the NHL Stanley Cup. Who do you think wins the cup?
Well, I said halfway through the first round, I had Florida over Dallas in the final. I still think Florida's the best team in hockey. I can't get there with Freddie Anderson for Carolina. They're a really good team. But boy, I mean, you score three goals, you got to win playoff games. At the same token, here in the West, both of the favored teams, Dallas slightly favored over Colorado, and Edmonton blow three-goal leads in game one of those series. So I think, Michael, all four of these series go at least six games. I think it'll be that tight. I think they'll probably go back to Florida tied 2-2 with the Rangers. Do or die for Carolina tonight. This is their whole season. I played them to win in regulation, minus 110 tonight. They've got to win here, or this is over. You go down 3-0 to the Rangers. So I think the playoffs have been terrific so far. You know, all eight favorites won advanced in the first
round.
Which
never happens.
Never.
Never happens. Like, that's why everyone loves the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's unpredictable. Like, all it takes is a hot goalie, but the chalk prevailed. Somich, he says the winner of Avalanche and Stars is going to be the Stanley Cup winner for him. Just because he likes, I mean, I think a lot of people like Dallas coming in, which got a little hairy for a second when they got down 0-2 to VGK.
I've been saying for 2 months that the West representative will come from the Central, not the Pacific, right? I mean, Winnipeg was a very good team all year, and Colorado just blitzed them. You know, they swept Colorado, didn't make much difference, right? Vancouver swept Edmonton. That did come back. You know, they just can't get consistent goaltending with Skinner. But yeah, I think the West representative comes out of the Central, and I do believe Florida is the best overall team.
Mike, as you prepare for the $1 million contest that's so good out there, are you making any modifications to the survivor pool in terms of what the games and all that stuff? Is there any changes that you're thinking about? Obviously, the bet goes up. The more people pay, so obviously the payout goes higher.
Yeah, we did the teaser commercial already, and then we've taped the one that's going to come out as soon as we have our rule set, which all we're waiting on is the NFL schedule release, which we were convinced was going to be today.
Teams were too.
It was the second Thursday in May, and now it's going to be next Wednesday. I guess they'll start releasing games on Sunday. Each team gets to release two games or whatever as a tease. We just want to see the Christmas, how they do the Christmas lineup, because we got to find three games there, right? Whether it's two on Christmas and the Thursday that follows, because we want to create that second group of three along with Thanksgiving that you can, a minimum of three, that you can put in a little pod and make it 20 weeks. Because I think that's a good formula to have 20 weeks. I can tell you there aren't going to be any changes to the max number of entries, and the guarantees going up, which will be revealed. I think it's a pretty predictable kind of ladder that we chose this year, which will still force us to have the most entries ever to reach the guarantee. And on the million side, we still haven't hit the six yet. So maybe we'll get to the 6,000 entries this year.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to sign up for these contests. I mean, I'll do it a little bit later on in the summertime, but it makes football season a whole lot of fun. And we encourage anybody who hasn't done it, like, you really need to get down here, sign up in the summertime. Make a trip out of it, come out for the weekend, sign up, do the whole thing. Are there any, like, going to be, like, people can stay if they do the full house sign-ups?
Yeah, there's
going to
be the
stuff?
Whole thing.
Okay.
I think on contest weekend, we have a meeting today, but, you know, we do that contest weekend, like the 23rd through 25th, and I do my panel. Michael, you've been on the panel before when you're available, but I think we're going to do that weekend, like anybody that does entries in both goes into a drawing, and we pick like six names and do a six-person shootout blackjack tournament or something fun like that. We're going to have, as we did last year on Thursday night that weekend, our former champions dinner at Andiamo. Pool day on Friday, and then the panel on Saturday. We're going to do our sign-up weekend in Northern Nevada, I believe the last weekend in July. We screwed that up last year. We did it in August, and they had that car show weekend up there. And the people from California all said, we can't afford to drive to Reno Sparks because the hotel rooms are five times what they normally are because of the big car show. So hopefully that will go better as well.
Mike, how about in Iowa? Are you going to, or Illinois, are you going to do contests there too?
Well, they have to come here, because the whole gaffe is why we don't charge a rake is because we want people to come to our property. So in exchange for not taking 8% of the pool, we get a trip out of them, and we hope they fall in love with our property and they come back. That's the whole gaffe of this. If I ever went state to state, we would have to take a rake, because it's very expensive to run these contests between the labor and all the advertising. Oh, yeah. We're in a couple million, Michael. We're not making any, you know. The thing is, we get all these people to come to our property, and we get a lot of attention by it. But it's not; it doesn't cost nothing to run it.
Yeah, I mean, if they got to twist your arm to come here, I don't know what your problem is. come down to Circa. Can we get Lombardi to come down here?
I
loved
it. Bill AD and I sat in a booth. We watched the basketball game. It was all, there's nothing like it. There really isn't. It is a sportsman's paradise. It really is.
Can we put you down for the summer?
Too much. Yeah, I don't know if I can get out there. I would love to, but, you know, without my kids being out there anymore, it's harder for me to get there, you know? Unless Bill AD gives me permission to come, I can.
Hey, we're all looking for permission. Real quick here before we head to break, we only have the Palms Pressing 3 come up in the next segment. Any NFL futures that you've been eyeing?
I'm going to ask Michael about one of them that I'm eyeing. I saw his write-up about Seattle. Your home team, not your team, but your hometown team. So I'm sure the people that pay the subscription appreciate the early tip, Michael.
Yeah, we talked about that. Their win total sitting at 7.5. All right, on the other side, we'll wrap up the show with Palms Pressing 3 here on the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
My mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
absolutely love it. Love what our crew put together there. This is the first time I've seen it here as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line, as we do every single Thursday. Final segment of the show, Palms Pressing 3. Mike Palm, please take it away.
All right, speaking of win totals, Michael, there is a lot of optimism, not only in Chicago, but at the betting windows around the country about the Chicago Bears following their draft, coupled on top of how they played the last half of the year. It's currently set at 8.5, Michael, juiced heavily to the over. The Bears win totals higher than the Chargers when you consider the juice. Michael, are the Bears going to win at least 9 games this year, and are they a playoff team?
I think you got to take a step back here to answer your question properly. And I think you have to understand Chicago. And you have to go back to when we were all first reunited here at the network, and Mitchell Trubisky was a candidate for MVP. And we sat in the studio and we were laughing at it. But the money was pouring in. And it was Chicago money. And the Bears fans are passionate. They're loyal. And they're delusional. And they'll bet even what they can't see. And so they bet Trubisky and ran that number up. Because remember, the book doesn't think that the Bears are going to win 9 games. The book thinks, the book sets the number because that's what the public thinks, right? And so that's where the juice is. And we know the public of Chicago is a little bit going to put their money all the time where their beliefs are. And so then we get another candidate. Justin Fields enters our world. And now his MVP odds are through the roof and moving numbers. Now, with some help by Danny O on the worldwide leader to fuel their fire, which is all they need is one match, and they're going to take off. Okay, so that was another St. Jude's play, which I was violently against playing and got ridiculed and destroyed. Okay, so now here we are with Caleb Williams. And this is the first one that makes sense, that he could be Rookie of the Year. But here's what I would say in caution. I think the North is really good. I think Green Bay's really good. Do you believe the Bears' offensive line is good enough? If you do, if you think they have a left tackle, if you think they have a right tackle, I know it's Darnell Wright, who was a first-round pick last year. If you think they're really good up front, and if you think that they can survive in 11 personnel out of that formation in the Midwest with the cold and rain, then go ahead. But they got to be able to stay healthy. I would lean under here. I would never go over, because I think you're buying into Bears enthusiasm. And I say this respectfully to the Bear fans. I love their passion. I love their loyalty. I don't like their delusionalness.
I agree with that. I mean, for the expectation for a rookie quarterback to win 9 games, that's not saying that he can't do it, but that's the expectation when you bet over an 8.5. Not doing it. Not doing it.
I'm monitoring to see how much of a plus I could get on this under 8.5. Right? It was a plus on under 7.5 last year, and I'm wondering how much of a plus I can get under 8.5. Okay, Michael, second question. On Monday, former Buffalo Bills and head coach and longtime Bronco defensive coordinator Joe Collier passed away. Collier was the architect of the Orange Crush defense of the 1970s and 80s in Denver. Michael, how will history remember Collier, and where will he rank among the all-time great defensive coordinators?
No, that's a great question, Mike. I'm glad you remembered him. Joe Collier was outstanding. You know, he was ahead of his time, and I think we came from an era back then where defensive coaches were really elite. And not only were they elite in terms of scheme and usage of players, I mean, Carl Mecklenburg's a 12th-round pick. Right. And he utilized his skill set, and he was able to kind of cover up a lot of the sins of their team, which ultimately got exposed when they played in the Super Bowl. But Joe is a tremendous defensive coordinator, much like Richie Pettibone was a tremendous defense coordinator with Washington. And there was an era in the 80s where we had a lot of these guys that were great. Buddy Ryan, you know, in Chicago. Bud Carson invented the cover two defense when he was at Pittsburgh, and then went on to have, you know, achieve success, was actually a head coach of the Browns. So, yeah, I think anytime you can honor these guys, unfortunately, we have too many people that get in the way of, you know, the contributor column for the Hall of Fame gets cloudy because the owners want to put their toe in the water. And then also this puts them in the head coaching vat. where now you've got Mike Holmgren watching on the outside. You've got Mike Shanahan watching on the outside. You can't get Buddy Parker in the Hall of Fame. Meanwhile, Robert Kraft's doing documentaries to get himself in the Hall of Fame, which he belongs in the Hall of Fame, but not in the coaching category. So he belongs in there for hiring Belichick, even though Belichick didn't work for 23 of the 24 years there in New England. We understand that. But he does deserve that honor. I think, to me, Collier will always be remembered as innovative. And I think the where he was so good was utilization of personnel and moving people around in an era where people weren't moving them.
I'm not to step on the pressing three here, but it's interesting that in the 80s and that time we saw the young defensive minds, and now it's all young offensive minds. I mean, Mike McDonald, the Seahawks head coach, is almost like a unicorn. You see a young defensive mind that people kind of herald it a little bit. It's interesting.
But this is always the trend, Femi, because everybody thinks you win games with offense. This is always the trend. And it wasn't until 2014 when New England said, look, you know, we either fix what we do defensively or we're not going to win, because we went from 2006 to 13 without winning any Super Bowls. And then from 14 to 19, because they improved their defense, they did. And I think that's been the key. Same thing with the Kansas City Chiefs. They made this decision when they traded Tyreek Hill. Now, no one's paying attention to it. Just me, you, and Mike Palm and other people. Clearly, Ryan Poles is, and he's drafting receivers. He's playing 7-on-7, you know, and he feels like I got enough defensive players. Well, you really don't.
Question three, Michael. Interesting news out of Canada this morning, I thought. Chad Kelly, many will remember, quarterback at Mississippi, had drafted by the Broncos, ran into problems there with some criminal behavior, is the reigning MVP of the Canadian Football League. A former strength and conditioning employee with the Argonauts filed a lawsuit against Kelly and the team for sexual harassment, unwanted advances by him, and then threats after they weren't met. She was subsequently fired, so her lawsuit also includes wrongful termination. The CFL commissioned a third party to do an investigation. They had a two-month investigation. They issued an 87-page report today and suspended the reigning CFL MVP for 9 games, a minimum of 9 games, and that's conditioned upon him successfully completing counseling on the issue. A two-part question here, Michael. One is, could something like this happen in the NFL or not based on the union's agreement? And two, what does this say as a sign of bad actors and trying to take bad actors and put them in places and make them good actors?
Yeah, well, I mean, what it says is Kelly has enough ability to be a good player. He doesn't have the character to be a good player, which affected him here and in the States in America, you know. And I think this certainly could happen in the NFL, but I think the NFL has safeguards to prevent this, right? And as we start to get more women coaches involved, which we should, we're going to have more safeguards in these environments. And I think it's really critical for the team to go through those educational processes to understand all this. And they do. And, you know, part of orientation is to make sure that the players understand all this. But look, I think what's very clear is you can't win any title without high-level character players. You have to have character on your team. And the characters are no really are going to help you. Character helps you. And I think for Kelly's career, this has been the deterrent for why he couldn't take the giant step, why he didn't get drafted, why he's been cut. Because he can't move himself from an amateur, which doesn't take things seriously, to a professional, which is becomes his life. And a lot of players don't. I think Zach Wilson's an example of that. You know, can't move from the amateur status to the professional status. And until you do that, until you grow up and handle it, nothing else matters.
Yeah. At some point in the NFL, you're going to meet adversity. And I guess it's how you handle that stuff is it determines who the good players are versus the players that end up washing out of the league. Anything else that you have on your mind here?
No, that nothing was else? It. That was it.
Nothing else? No Seahawks future that you're
great
putting
work,
in there?
Mike.
Thank you. That's a lot of pressure with Elliot for these questions, you know, so I have to dig deep some.
Why are you throwing our guy under the bus here? He's behind the glass. He can't respond or defend himself.
Elliot has a standard. No, he's Mike Palm's right. Elliot's doing his job. He has a standard of excellence we all have to meet.
Make sure
I
you meet
it.
Those deadlines.
I accept it.
All right. Well, for our producer, Elliot, both behind the glass and the entire crew, for Mike Palm, for Michael Lombardi, I'm Femi Bebefe saying so long. The Handle's coming up next at the top of the hour here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.